fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. This week we've been talking a great deal about Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Kind of caps off that precious season in the liturgical year from the passion death of Jesus, celebrating his resurrection from the dead. We make our way through to the ascension when Jesus rises to the right hand of the Father, and the new creation, really the new creation, is established in the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ as he himself rises and brings with him into the presence of God the Father human flesh, humanity glorified. We now have a new destiny. We had fallen from glory, Scripture says, because of sin, and we became death-directed creatures, alienated from God. But Jesus came, he became one of us and took on human flesh, and in his passion, death, and resurrection, reordered human history, our destiny. And as he took his seat at the right hand of the Father, he established forever the Father's plan and his purpose, his work of salvation for the human race, that each and every person God has created is destined to sit with Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, to enter into the kingdom of God and to share in what belongs to Jesus, that is his glory and his reign in heaven. The church exists in human history now between the first and second comings of Jesus. Now that the church is born on the day of Pentecost, why Pentecost is so important? Because it's from Jesus' place at the right hand of the Father, from that position of authority. Jesus told us all power and authority in heaven and on earth belongs to me. Literally, all power over everything is in the hands of Jesus Christ. He has control, ultimately, of everything, including our lives. In him is the power to bring about the salvation of the world, to make all things new. Everything is death-directed. The world itself is going to pass away. But in Jesus Christ is the new beginning, is the new creation, and it's by his power that things will come to life. And the church exists as a sign in the world, having been brought to life in the Holy Spirit through the grace of Jesus, who Acts 2, we'll see St. Peter testifies on the day of Pentecost after he and the other apostles, Mary and others in the upper room, received the gift of the Holy Spirit as a fulfillment of the promise that Jesus gave them. He said to go and to wait for the promise of the Father. Peter tells us that having received the gift of the Spirit, what they were encountering and what everyone could see as the apostles went out into the marketplace, as they went out from the upper room, people could see something was very different. They had a new power. They had a new joy. They had new clarity and purpose, and they came forward proclaiming the reality that Jesus now is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, that he's both Lord and Messiah, was the heart of Peter's proclamation. And because he's Lord and Messiah now, everything that Jesus said about the world, about us, about the human race, about the human heart, about sin, life, destiny, everything that Jesus said is absolutely true. So what Jesus said was, I am the truth. When Jesus said that, the apostles probably weren't 100% clear what exactly Jesus meant by him saying, I'm the truth. But what we see now and what the apostles could now see through the grace of the Spirit is that Jesus is the truth about God. The human race is constantly either in search of or running from God, trying to create our own gods, trying to define our own God. And we're lost in the world without knowledge of the true God. Jesus came and he revealed to us the absolute truth about God and who God is. God's nature. God is our Father. God is love. God is full of mercy. But he's also full of justice and goodness and kindness toward us. And we literally are made for him. And we belong to him. And so Jesus reveals to us the truth of who God is, but also the truth about what man's response to God ought to be and how we can come to eternal life and absolute freedom and joy and become everything that we were meant to be. by abandoning ourselves to God in radical obedience and trust of our lives. But Jesus was also telling the truth about who we are now. What's happened to the human race? What's going on in the world? He said things that today people find hard to even fathom, much less believe. He said, the whole world is in the power of the devil. John the Apostle quotes, basically says it in 1 John, building on what Jesus said in the gospel. He said, the ruler of this world is coming. The ruler of this world is being cast out. So there's a devil and there's demons and there's a fallen world that we inhabit. And that we connive with that world because of the power of sin in our own flesh, that dimension of our existence internally that resists the will of God. Jesus said in the third chapter of John, the light came into the world. He's the light. The light about who we are and how we ought to live and where we're going. But men prefer darkness to light, Jesus said, because their deeds are evil. Here's the human condition. So Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, has perfectly diagnosed the human situation. And now he says, it's a time of mercy and grace for the world, a time that's going to come to an end when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. That time will end. But the church is born on Pentecost by the outpouring of the promised Holy Spirit that Jesus and the Father would send to us and would begin to bring to life human beings who are death-directed and fallen and separated from God. God's mercy would come and bring us to a new life in the Spirit. And it's out of that life and out of that grace that the kingdom of God begins to spread. The church is a sign of the rule and reign of Jesus, the full rule and reign that exists in heaven, and it's a sign on earth of the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, and that rule is extended now through the power of the Holy Spirit that we receive at baptism, given to us to be able to live a new life and a new capacity. Now, if you look at Luke's gospel, the main reading yesterday at Mass, the first reading was from the Acts of the Apostles, written by Luke, the same author of the gospel. Here's what he says at the end of the gospel. He says, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Here's Luke's account of the Great Commission. This is the commission that the entire church receives from Jesus. That it's clear. Here's what the message of the church is. The church exists to communicate this very message that it was written in the prophets, that the Christ, that is the anointed, the Messiah, Jesus, should suffer. And on the third day, rise from the dead. Here's the essence of the proclamation of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and the new creation has begun. In his flesh, Jesus of Nazareth, Mary's son, lives forever. So he was raised from the dead, and now, because of that, everything he said, as I mentioned, is vindicated. So, the time now has changed. The time for the world is an opportunity to repent and to receive forgiveness of sins. Jesus came to diagnose our heart and the condition of our lives. And he made it clear that humanity, each person, apart from the mercy of Jesus Christ and his Spirit, lives in a condition of alienation from God because of sin, a condition of rebellion. And our life is death-directed, and we're literally headed for judgment. And Jesus said very clearly, the purpose for which he died was to bring about the possibility that you and I, all of us, could repent of our sin. That is, acknowledge Jesus' diagnosis of our life and our need to have our lives turned back to God. So we give to God the Father what belongs to him. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and have no idols before God, no gods before him, and that we live the life that's spoken about in the commandments and that we see manifest in the lives of the saints, to give to God what belongs to God. This is what God deserves. This is what doing justice to God is what it's all about. And this is the reason for which we have been made. And so until we do that, until we begin to live that way and put first things first, to put God first and to allow his love to emerge and put love for him first in our lives, we remain in a condition of rebellion and alienation from God. So this is a time of mercy that we would turn from that direction and turn toward God and to receive the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus tells the apostles, you must preach this throughout Jerusalem. But before you do, he said, wait. Wait in the upper room. Wait for the coming of my Holy Spirit. Why? Because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you shall be my witnesses, is what Jesus said. And we go now to Acts chapter 1. Jesus is about to ascend to the Father. And he tells the apostles very clearly. He says this. He says, you've heard from me, for John baptized with water. But before many days, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Christianity is Holy Spirit baptism. Christianity is being plunged into the life and the power of the Holy Spirit. The church, in her life, in her sacraments, in her preaching, is empowered, is brought to life by the power of the Holy Spirit, who's been sent by the Father and the Son to empower us, to enable us to fulfill what Jesus said in the Great Commission, to go and preach to all nations the truth that the word of the prophets was fulfilled. And on the third day, Jesus died, and on the third day rose. And now repentance and forgiveness of sins is possible. And it's time to go tell the whole world about the mercy of God and the possibility of receiving salvation. Later in that very same chapter, just a few verses down, that same chapter, Jesus says to the apostles, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In some ways, as Pope Benedict had said years ago, reflecting on the Feast of Pentecost, he said the sending of the Spirit is the culmination of Jesus' entire life and ministry. It's the reason for the incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection, and ascension of the Lord. It culminates with the Lord transferring to fallen human flesh the glory that now belongs to him. He's now the head of a new race of people. He's become, Scripture says, a life-giving spirit. He has a capacity now to pour out his very life that has conquered sin and death and begun something entirely new, a new creation. He pours that into the church. That's how the church is born, into human hearts. That's what happens at baptism. And our life now is literally a life in the Spirit. So Pentecost isn't a one-time reality. It's our entire life. We live now by the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, that we might give glory to God and complete the Great Commission. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.